Good morning and welcome to those of you here at the sanctuary, but also for many who are joining us via internet. Welcome to this sanctuary, the House of God, where we've not met for some months to share and worship together. And for those also joining by video, I say it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Today is an in-house trial run of a worship service, so while there's a small group of us here in the sanctuary, we look forward to the coming weeks when we can gradually be back and worship together. We're asking that during the month of September, you alternate Sunday attendance, so either a senior worship service or a family worship service, as a way of us to ease back into sharing as a community of faith. For details of our worship services, there was a pastoral letter from Pastor Nick dated August 21st, and also some details in today's bulletin, and so we invite you to check all those details in those notices. We look forward to next Sunday, September 6th, being a seniors service, and just a reminder, those services will begin at 10 a.m. For the time being, services will continue to be available online, and copies of the bulletin and messages will continue to be snail mailed every 2 weeks to those who've registered with the office. So if you want either of those notices, please contact the office. Lots of other announcements and things happening within our community and also within the community of faith, and invite you to check the bulletin for those details. For our call to worship, I'll be sharing from Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea to dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. Bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God, it is good to be together, to worship. I've heard in the past from so many of our faith community how they long to see one another, to share with one another, and that's an important part of being community. Guide and direct our thoughts as we ease back into worship and other aspects of being a community of faith, and may our witness and trust in Jesus Christ guide our thoughts and reflections and also our witness to others. Thank you for this time of worship. Bless Pastor Nick as he shares your message later on in the service. And may our reflections in music be part of our prayers lifted to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharing some music, and we won't be singing, but invite you to reflect on the themes as Trudy shares with us.
That binds, so you probably know some of the lyrics from your past. I'll play it through twice as you meditate on Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Thank you.
are different these days. It's a challenge to share in life as we know it as a community of faith, but yet with variations, we seek ways of still being a strong witness of faith for one another and for our community. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, you are kind and compassionate, slow to anger, and abundant in love. Thank you for the grace that sustains us for these days in the midst of the various challenges of a pandemic. In reflecting in history, it's somewhat almost 100 years since such a major global pandemic has affected so many millions of lives. And so we ask for your grace for these days to be community with one another in the wider sense, but also for us as a community of faith. We pray for the challenges that normally we would share and care and support for one another that have been disrupted in the last number of months. We know there are families who are grieving, families who have wanted to celebrate life and life transitions in various ways, and the pandemic has imposed such changes in how we do things. We seek to be people of faith and ask for healing for those who have experienced illness. We lift those names before you in our thoughts. We also pray for families who have experienced the death of loved ones, and particularly this past week, a number of families who have experienced that sense of loss. And in the midst of that, gratitude and thanksgiving for life and love and faith shared with those who have passed on before us. We pray for the community of faith, not only here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite, but other churches in our community who seek to be a witness for Jesus in the wider community, and may you provide what we need for wisdom and guidance for these days. We also give you thanks for the continued support financially for the operations of the church as we seek to adapt and change to the new realities. Continue to bless us as we seek to be people of peace. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Reading this morning from Exodus 18, verses 1 to 12. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and a Pharaoh who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. That's far the reading of God's word. For the most part, our family has been quite cautious about everything the whole way through this pandemic. This meant that there was a fairly long stretch where we hardly saw my family at all. Because we are a family of four, and they're a household of three, and the guidelines for a time said that gatherings could consist of no more than five, it made visiting a challenge. We might seem like sticklers, I know, but we've preferred to take recommendations seriously and do our parts and play it safe. So we stuck to talking over the phone and computer for those first several weeks. We did that until the government announced that gatherings of up to 10 people were now permissible, at which point we promptly packed our car and drove the hour or so it took to get to my parents. The timing for this first full family trip was interesting. It was right after that announcement about larger distance groups being fine was made, but right before we heard news of social bubbles being allowed. So we had made this plan to camp out in their backyards. That way we could practice due diligence, we thought, and not have to go into their house and share close quarters with them. And so we cooked outside and camped outside and even converted the old treehouse, which now rested on the ground, into an outhouse for Megan and I to use. We slept horribly, as we tend to do in tents, but I have to say it's been one of the best weekends we've experienced since all of this started, because we were with family again. And my parents could see our daughters in person. Our oldest could run around in their backyards. We got to stay over and sit around a campfire with my siblings. Shortly after we left to head back home that weekend, we heard the news about bubbles being allowed and the tents no longer was necessary. But it remained a fond memory for us, a memory of reunion. Imagine you here and you watching and listening could share stories of your own little reunions these past months as well, especially after we shifted out of those initial weeks of lockdown where nobody was seeing much of anyone else. I imagine you could share stories of families who are able to join together again and of groups of friends who are able to see one another in little distance meetings. Today we're continuing to work our way through our series that we've called A Way Through the Wilderness, in which we're looking at the wilderness journey of the people of ancient Israel as we continue on through our own wilderness experiences in this time. Like our family story, my family, the story we encounter in this week's text involves a tent and a family reunion. I'll reflect on just a couple of aspects of this story this morning. One, the main one is that's the reunited, and yet they've also got a long ways to go yet. They're together again, and yet they aren't there yet. They're with one another, and yet they're still in the wilderness. We read that Moses' family comes to meet him while he was camped out by the base of a mountain. It isn't entirely clear where they had been or why they had been separated from Moses for some time, but in any case, they make this journey to come and see him. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, Zipporah, his wife, and their two sons. We read that Jethro sends a messenger ahead, letting Moses know that he's en route, he's coming. And Moses greets them all warmly when they arrive and welcomes them into his tents. Once they've all been seated there, Jethro looks at Moses and says, "We've heard so much about your time. Tell us everything." And so Moses does this, going through the whole winding story of their experience, filling him in on everything that he's experienced. It's this sweet and sacred moment of reunion. They're together again after who knows how long. We can imagine them huddled together there, the warm lamplight pooled around them, the table full of food, the sound of their laughter and their weeping as they make up for lost time and talk for hours on end. Yet we maybe sense that there is just an experience that is maybe tinged with another set of feelings as well, because they're not there yet. And Moses and the people of God were wandering through the wastelands when his family shows up, and they're still left wandering there when they leave. Theirs is a reunion that's perhaps something like that which many of us have experienced this year. Together, but still not quite there yet. With one another, but with lives in so many ways still profoundly unsettled. A time of deep joy as they join together, but the reality is they're meeting in a tent and not a house. Our family, my family, is glad to no longer have to worry about setting everything up in the backyards to visit with my parents. We're aware that things may change and change again, but for now we're grateful to come inside their place and be part of their social circle. We're still very careful about it, but are thankful to be able to come in there and sit on the couch across from them in the living room. All the same, we recognize that we're not there yet. It's still not the same. It's still not wholly settled. We find our undistanced social group small, for example, even with up to 10 people permitted to participate in it. It means that there's still relatives that we can't see up close, people who can't hold or play with our children. It means that there are friends who we'd love to be able to spend time with without 2 meters or a mask in between us, but we can't do that, or at least we've decided that we won't do that. We have all these beautiful experiences of reunion, and yet they're bittersweet in a way. They're tinged with something else. Like Moses and his relatives, we're with one another, but we're aware that we're still in the wilderness. We're together, and yet we're not quite there yet. The same, of course, is true of our experience as church community today. We're together again, and look forward to more of the same in the weeks to come with others joining us. We're reunited after months of separation. It's a joy and a sweet and a sacred thing to finally see one another. And yet we aren't there yet. As they were for Moses and his kin, so many things about this all remain so unsettled. Our Sundays are not what we remember them to be or might want them to be. Some of us are here, but many of us are not. We're with one another, but we're still making our way through the wilderness. I believe it's really important for us to be able to hold and honor both of those parts of this experience, these experiences of reunion. I believe it's important for us to be able to be honest about them. I think we see something like that in what Moses shares with his father-in-law while they're together in that tent. As they sit together there, Moses tells Jethro about all of the wonders that God has done leading up to where they were that day. He recalls God's incredible care and provision through it all. But we read that he also shared about all the hardships they had met along the way. I believe that's really important for us to be able to do, to be able to hold and honor and be honest about both of those aspects of our experiences in this time, to bear both of those faithfully in our lives, to be able to share openly about them with one another like Moses and his family did that day, and to find ways as well to bring them before God. I wonder if we often find it easier to do one or the other in our lives. We might find it easy to think and talk about all the ways that God has been with us and taking care of us through the deserts, but maybe find it more difficult to express those difficult aspects of our journey this past while. Some of us might find ourselves, on the other hand, fixating on all the hard parts and struggle to see or to be able to say how God has been present and at work in our lives. In this story, Moses holds both of them together. He honors both of those parts of his journey, and he's able to be honest about both of them as well. If you're like me and prone to the latter of those two ways of being, I think it can be easy to get discouraged about all the ways that we're not there yet, and let that cloud our experiences of reunion. It can be easy to look at all the ways that our gathering is different now, and different in this time, and let that be all we see, and to only grieve. What I expect for most of us, though, and what I hope and I pray is that it'll be more like something of my experience of camping in my parents' backyard this spring. Yes, it's different and difficult in at least a dozen ways. Yes, I'll be honest about those hard parts. I do not, for one thing, recommend sleeping in a tent with a toddler and an infant. I should mention that this was only one of our tents that we used, lest you think we were completely out of our minds. Also, we really should have rented a U-Haul for all the stuff we needed to bring to make that weekend work. And Megan wasn't particularly enthusiastic about the whole rustic outdoor toilet situation, understandably. We came out of that weekend sleepless and unshowered, and yet we left feeling so incredibly grateful and full of joy to have just been with one another and seen one another after all our time apart. What I hope for us is that as we transition into this next season for us as a church, it might be something like that. That it might be something like it was for Moses as he gathered in a tent with his family in this story. Yes, it's different. Yes, we're not there yet. Yes, they weren't there yet either. We're still working with a tent here, not a house. We're still serving each other manna and quail, not milk and honey like we'd maybe prefer. We're together but seated 6 feet apart. We're able to meet, but we need masks. And maybe more than anything else, we're so very aware of everyone who can't be here or has chosen not to be here. We're still in the wilderness. We're still working with the tents. But we have these moments all the same to be grateful for. Bittersweet as they may be, they're no less beautiful, I believe. We've come this far, God has led us this far, and we continue to have one another. I wonder what that time must have meant for Moses, how heartening and encouraging it must have been for him as he continued on through the desert to have his wife and children and father-in-law with them, to see them, even if it was for such a short time, and to receive support from them. I wonder what that must have meant for him, what this time means for us. In the end, their story of regathering, as we read about it here, is about more than just them as people. God and God's work are at the center of this experience of reunion. We read that before Jethro had even made the decision to come to see Moses, he had heard about everything God had done, and that's what drew him, led him to this. And we read that when he gets there and they come together, it's all that he and Moses can talk about. And that after they're done talking, Jethro bursts out into worship and sets out to offer sacrifices to God. Likewise, our reunion as a church in these next weeks will not just be about us. What we're doing here is it's not just about seeing some of our friends and family again, as wonderful as that will be for those who can and who might choose to do that. Because who we are and what we do as a church is not just about our social connections. If that was only what church consisted of, church would have ceased to exist in March. As it was in this story in Exodus, God will continue to be at the center of it all. And our hope is that God will continue to be at the center of our attention as well. We're able to be with one another today, but we're still not there yet. It most certainly won't be 4 decades of wilderness like it was for the people of Israel, but from everything we're hearing, it will be different for some time yet. We've got a ways to go with the tents, but we'll get there. God has led us this far, and we've got one another, and so we've got lots to be grateful for in the meantime. If you'll excuse me, I need to pack this thing up. And eventually, we'll have the hope that we'll all do the same. Amen.
For it's only in God's will that we are free. So maybe that's a thought you can take home with you.
Good to see you. I'd invite our ushers to come to the backs of the rows here. Offerings will not be taken, as you'll be aware, but if you've not had a chance to do so, and would like to, we have baskets at the rear. We seek God's blessing on the offering in this time, and I share these words of God's blessing over us. Our ushers will lead us from the sanctuary, beginning on this side as we go. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make our love, your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen. God's peace be with you this week.